From the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily.
Welcome along, I'm Sean Savage. This is Earshot Daily, electronic edition. This time around, I'll have music from Caribou, Jacques Green, and Charlotte Day Wilson. Kicking things off, this is Braids with Amends.
Softness, a hard show.
This is Canada's Music, Earshot Daily. The way music was meant to be. Earshot Daily.
Thank you. only is you. Praise, praise comes into view. Chance fill up the room. Strange sounds underneath the moon. Hands raised to the roof. Gray slay under black boots. Best friend you never knew. Miracles coming out the blue. Circle dance like a Quaker. Brings me right back to bed. I search for a savior. Never know when this is it. Appreciate to the congregation. Club burning up. Consecration. Bread and wine. Consecrated. Let's have a conversation.
Savage. This is the Earshot Daily. Thanks for listening. Follow me on all socials. My handle is The Mix Sessions. Let me know what you think of the show. That was Jacques Green, Cadence Weapon, and Justin Strauss with their track Night Service. That was off the Arts and Crafts label. Up next is my track La Musique.
You're listening to music from Canada's premier indie music source, Earshot's digital distribution system.
Sean Savage, you're listening to Your Shot Daily. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have for this edition of the show. This is Charlotte Day Wilson. We'll find you. Until next time.
Listen up, Canada. This is your show on your station, Canada's Earshot Daily. Listening to Earshot Daily. For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca.
Have you ever been to Extended Family Kingston?
Stop by and visit our programs and talk to our staff to find out how our staff will support you.
So many things we like best are golf,
doing crafts,
hanging friends,
and gardening.
I like doing everything at EAF. We just love Extended Family.
Visit us at www.efkingston.com.
Come on down to EFK, located at 660 Baggett Street, for a great time. Be a part of our extended family.
Come to extended family. Come and have some fun.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, different circles is moving. Same day, different time slot.
We're now on Fridays at 9 p.m. Join me from 9 to 10 p.m. for an adventure through sound. Who knows? You might just find your next favorite song.
Hello, everyone. I'm Genevieve Hinch, and you're listening to The Kingston Curator. This is the show that keeps you connected with everything happening across Kingston's art, music, culture, and community scene. Whether you're looking for your next concert, wanting to discover local artists, or just trying to stay in the loop with what's going on around the city, this is the place for you. Okay, so now on today's very first episode, we are talking all about Spring Reverb Festival, one of Kingston's most exciting music and arts festivals, happening May 28th to 31st right here in Kingston, of course. So over the last 5 years, Spring Reverb has really become something special for Kingston, bringing together artists, musicians, filmmakers, creatives, and community members from all over. And one thing I really admire about the festival is how much it celebrates not just music, but creativity as a whole. I truly love that. And it's one of those events where you can really feel Kingston's art scene come alive because all the events, all the concerts are all in Kingston venues, keeping it local. It's amazing. So there are live performances happening across multiple venues, workshops for artists, creative panels, community events, and opportunities for people to be connected with others who are passionate about music and the arts. So for my very first episode of The Kingston Curator, I'm actually joined by one of the co-founders of Spring Reverb himself, Mark Garness. And Mark is also the executive director of the Kingston Canadian Film Festival. So he's definitely played a huge, huge role in helping shape Kingston's arts and culture scene over the years. So today, we are going to hear directly from him about how the festival first started, how it's evolved over the last 5 years, and what audiences can expect from this year's lineup. So pretty exciting stuff happening soon. Now, before we jump into the interview, I just wanted to talk a little bit about why I personally think the festival is truly incredible and why I love it so much, and I'm sure many of you do as well. I think what makes Spring Reverb unique is that it truly feels welcoming to everyone. Honestly, sometimes musical festivals can feel a little intimidating, I can't lie, or like you're the only one in a specific crowd or genre. But Spring Reverb isn't like that at all. There is such a wide range of artists, styles, performances, and events that almost anyone can find something they truly connect with and really want to do at this festival. It's amazing. So you've got bigger touring acts like the Dirty Nil performing alongside local Kingston musicians and emerging artists who are just getting a chance to share their work with new audiences. And I honestly love that balance. It gives people the chance to see artists they already know and love while also discovering completely new musicians and bands they maybe never would have heard of otherwise. Plus, one thing I can really appreciate is the diversity of genres and performances included throughout the festival. There's indie music, alternative, folk, experimental performances, literally all kinds of genres for everyone. Plus, performances are spread throughout different venues around Kingston, which I think gives the festival such a cool atmosphere. It really turns the city itself into part of the experience, which I think is such a unique component to Spring Reverb that a lot of these larger festivals don't have that quite intimate feeling to them. So I truly love that. And another thing I really love about Spring Reverb is that it's not only focused on performances, there's also a lot of workshops, artist talks, and community events happening throughout the weekend that help support people who are interested in the creative industry themselves. So if you're someone who's interested in music, performing, songwriting, or even just learning more about the business side of being an artist, there's genuinely a lot to take away from this festival, and not just listening to artists, but you potentially could become one yourself even. I was definitely checking out some of the workshops happening next weekend, and it seems a lot that this year focuses on things like financial literacy for artists, creative development, and pretty much just building a career in the arts, which I think is incredibly valuable because a lot of people don't really realize how much work goes into building a sustainable creative career behind the scenes. So I really like that Spring Reverb includes these opportunities potentially for younger artists or just emerging artists so they can actually learn from people working in the industry and see kind of the ins and outs of this career. And honestly, one event that really stood out to me and that I might partake in, I can't even lie, is a DIY merch workshop. I just think that is such a fun and creative idea. So like I said, so whether you're a huge live music fan or someone looking to discover local artists or inspiring musicians, or honestly, just someone who loves Kingston and wants to experience something different, Spring Reverb really does sound like an amazing event to check out next weekend, literally for everyone. I guarantee there's something you're interested in this event. There's truly so much going on. So now that I've given a little introduction to the festival, I'm going to get into today's interview with Mark Garnes, and you can hear more about the story behind Spring Reverb and what goes into organizing a festival like this and what audiences should definitely keep an eye out for this year. So take it away. Okay, hello, hello, and welcome to the Kingston Curator, Mark. So happy to have you on here today. You are a co-founder of Spring Reverb, as well as an executive director of the Kingston Canadian Film Festival. Mark, you've played such a huge role in shaping Kingston's art and music scene through festivals, live music, film, and community events across the city. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And first of all, for listeners who maybe haven't experienced Spring Reverb before, what exactly is the festival all about?
It's one of the few events, even like in Eastern Ontario, where there's an educational component to it, where we include things like panels and learning opportunities for musicians, but also music fans as well. So I think like that's the when people ask like, what's the one thing I guess that's like truly unique compared to other events, that would be it. Like, I mean, if people have been to Pop Montreal in Montreal or events like that, you know, they have a we haven't directly modeled it off that event, but that would be like a comparable for a festival that's been around longer than us. And then obviously, you know, that we have lots of concerts, and that's probably the exciting thing that we do. You know, we cram a lot of concerts into a short amount of time, and you know, like a lot of festivals, you have to pick and choose what you want to go see and kind of venue hop and that sort of thing. And you know, we include all genres of music, but we're not afraid to take genres like punk and some of the heavier, more alternative and angular stuff as well that you may not see in Kingston on a regular basis.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. There's definitely a little bit for everyone in this festival, and it's such a great, great thing that you have put apart here. And it's definitely community driven, and it feels really unique compared to a lot of the larger festivals. And how did the idea for Spring Reverb first come together, and what inspired you to help create it?
Well, it was actually CFRC. I mean, that's partially true, but without making the story too long, during the pandemic, when we had a huge backlog of bands that were wanting to tour and weren't able to, you know, like for legal reasons. And then when shows opened up again, there was just so many bands that had postponed dates and canceled and rescheduled dates, and then like new bands wanting to hit the road as well. So we noticed there was at the end of 2001, there was so many amazing bands wanting the same weekend that actually intersected with when CFRC had their national radio conference. So CFRC was the host that year. Kingston was the host. And so we sort of put the two plans together. There was going to be all these radio and industry workers in town for the CFRC event. And we had all these concerts happening at the same time. So it was actually with Dinah. We chatted with her and we're like, it would be great if we could actually showcase some of the Kingston music scene to all these industry guests that are going to be here. And so I think the big band we had that year was Pop, you know, who obviously sells out any venue in town. And then we had a number of other amazing bands as well. So it kind of came from that idea of like all this like pent up programming from the pandemic. And then we just saw a real opportunity to work with CFSC when they when you had all these industry guests in town. So it kind of came from It came from that need, I guess, and that coming out of the pandemic. And it was such a success in the first year, we decided to keep going with it.
Wow, yeah, I can imagine. That's incredible. And obviously, the festival has grown a lot over the years. And every year, the lineup always feels incredibly diverse and very carefully curated. So what can audiences expect from this year's festival?
Yeah, like, I mean, when you say it's grown, it has, like, it does get incrementally bigger every year, but it's also the type of festival that we've purposely kept it pretty small, so it's kept that intimate feeling to it. You know, like, the biggest venue that we're using this year is the Broom Factory, which is, you know, a 275 cap room, so it's still a pretty small space. You know, there was one year, I think we were using the Ale House, but that's the biggest room that we've used for this festival. So we've never made that move into using a larger outdoor venue. And so I think when you're venue hopping and like going to see different spaces downtown and checking out different bands, it does retain that really intimate feeling to it, that you're, you know, seeing some bigger bands like Bedouin Sound Clash and the Dirty Nil playing a small room. And then also even some of the acts that we have in at the Toucan, like By Divine Right and Hot Garbage. You know, these are bands that normally would play ticketed shows in bigger rooms, but we have them playing for free at the Toucan. So I think just the idea that you can kind of check out some of these really up-and-coming emerging bands playing small rooms and then some bigger ones as well, like still playing small spaces. I think we've wanted to keep that feel of the festival, and it's something we've purposely done.
Yeah, I know many people really enjoy that, and that's an incredible feeling, very unique to your festival. And I know you just mentioned a couple artists, my next question is how do you actually go about curating the artists and events each year? Like, what's the process and behind the scenes for that?
Yeah, we have a call for submissions. So I think this year we had over 200 artists apply to play, and then, you know, we want to ensure that there's strong local representation at the festival. So I think around roughly half the spots are local bands, and you know, even an artist like Bedouin Sound Clash, who I mentioned, they no longer live in Kingston, but they were very much a Kingston band for many years. They went to Queens and lived here for a while earlier in their career. So yeah, it is an open call to submit. So we'll often get bands submitting direct, or sometimes record labels or management companies that represent some of these artists are submitting on their behalf as well. And then, you know, KPP is an organization that programs concerts throughout the year as well. So sometimes if we notice an artist is coming through late May, we'll suggest to them that, like, hey, you know, the festival might be a good fit for you. So this year, I think we have 10 different shows crammed into like the 3.5 days. I think one year we had 15. So yeah, you know, we're trying to fit all these shows into a short amount of time, and roughly three or four bands per show. And then on the panel side, we'll often look at some of the musicians and guests that we're going to have here anyways, and we ask if they'd be interested in taking part in a panel. I think I also work in film, and it's a very normal thing to see a filmmaker get up for a Q&A and talk to the audience, and you get to know a little bit about the filmmaker and their craft and that sort of thing. But on the music side, it's not nearly as common. You know, like, you'll hear maybe singers of a band, you know, they'll have banter in between their songs, but they're not often like talking to an audience in any sort of like educational way. So I think that's one thing that we really have tried to leverage, is like the, you know, some of the guests that we, in musicians even that we have at the festival already, like offering them an opportunity to provide some learning and educational opportunities for our audience.
Yeah, for sure. That all sounds incredible. And I love that you keep a certain amount of spots open for local artists. That's really, really great. And I'm sure as you're curating all these and picking out your artists, you're definitely probably discovering some amazing new upcoming artists. Are there any performances or events this year that you're especially excited about, and maybe even a hidden gem artist people should make sure not to miss this year?
Oof, that's a tough one. I've really wanted to see Hot Garbage for a while. I've actually never seen them play. They actually say they have, so they're playing at the Toucan, and they said, oh, they played there many years ago. They're a really cool kind of like psychedelic-y kind of garage punk band from Toronto, and they're playing a free show at the Toucan. So that's one that I think, you know, if it was another weekend, we would probably have a ticketed show at the Broom Factory or some larger space. So that seems to be one that I'll be interested in seeing it in that tiny little room at the Toucan for free on the Friday night of the festival. But Cam Cahine, who's opening up for the Dirty Nil, he's amazing. He's he actually has played Spring Reverb once before. I'm just like astonished that he's not, I guess, more popular than he is. But we have him in a support slot for the Dirty Nil. That's also on the Friday of the festival. What else is in there? We have Mall Crimes, who's playing at the Musiki. They're a punk band that'll be playing outdoors under the tree on the patio of Musiki. So that'll be a really interesting space to see a show like that. You know, I think it's typically a little more singer songwriter driven space, but to see a punk band in that outdoor space will be really, really cool to see. You know, we love Julia Finnegan and Savannah Shea and Clara Smallman, all like local singer-songwriters. We have them on for opening slots. Gifts of Guilt is opening up for By Divine Right. They're a local band. They have members that also play in Owl Farm and other local bands. So, yeah, there's like, I don't know, for me to single out is hard. You know, it's easy to talk about some of the headliners like By Divine Right or The Dirty Nil or Golden Feather, who's probably one of the best bands that is still like on the cusp of getting bigger. Like, I'm surprised they're not bigger than they have. We have them playing at the Toucan too. So yeah, it's hard for me to name a few, but there's like tons of awesome headliners and support acts and a ton of amazing local bands too.
Yeah, for sure. Those all sound incredible. And definitely I will check all of those out. They sound great. And okay, one more fun one to wrap things up a little bit. If you could describe this year's Spring Reverb in just three words, what would they be?
Oh, nonstop fun, I guess.
It's oh, okay. Like,
yeah, it's you know, we do this a little bit with the film festival as well, which has been going on for much longer than Spring Reverb, but just like really trying to cram too much into a short amount of time. So it creates that sense that you do have to kind of curate your schedule, and there's always going to be some things that you miss. You can't be everywhere at once. So, you know, I think half the fun is also like kind of comparing notes with and stories with people after the event's come and gone, being like, oh, I couldn't check out, you know, this band because I was learning about this other band that I didn't think I was going to see at this other venue. So, you know, there's always a sense of adventure at festivals like these when there's multiple venues and overlapping programming. I think some bigger festivals that have larger stages and possibly more audience members, but they're all seeing the same thing at the same time. You know, it's a different experience than having to kind of pick and choose your adventure a bit. So yeah, we have a lot. I think there's over 20 events rolled into about 3.5 days. So it's for people that want to take in a lot of music in a short amount of time. It's a great time to do so.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And finally, before we finish up here today, is there anything else you'd like listeners to know or share about this year's festival?
I think just the fact that a lot of it is like, we don't ever lead with the idea that like we're a free festival, because we're not. There are events that are ticketed, but I guess when I was just going through the events this year, just realizing how many actually are free or at the very least low cost as well. So all the panels are free of charge. The concerts of the Toucan, which is like, I mean, we have three really, really good shows there, all bands that would normally be, you know, ticketed shows for probably $20-$30 or higher, are all playing for free at the Toucan. The Musiki shows are very low cost. And we even have a punk rock flea market out here at the Broom Factory, which is a ton of local vendors. That's free to get in. And a merch market at the warehouse, which is free as well. So just, I guess, the idea that if you want to do lots during Spring Reverb and you're just on a shoestring budget or no budget, you know, there's lots to do. And I think that's something that we don't really always promote, you know, that it's such a low or no cost festival. So it's something that kind of dawned on us after we announced everything, like, oh, there's certainly lots to do if you're on a budget. So
yeah, 100%. Yeah, totally. Lots of opportunities for everyone to get out there and have some fun, like you mentioned. And thank you so much, Mark, for coming on The Curator and interviewing with me today. Again, everyone, check out the Spring Reverb Festival. It's going to be really fun.
Awesome. Thank you.
And again, that was the terrific Mark Garness. And one thing I really think should be highlighted from that interview is just how accessible Spring Reverb truly is. A lot of these festival events and programming are actually free, which makes it such a great opportunity for people to get involved and discover newer artists and just experience Kingston's art scene without having to spend a ton of money. So even if you're just curious, definitely make sure to check out at least a few events throughout the weekend. Now, to wrap up today's episode of The Kingston Curator, I wanted to play one of the hidden gems Mark mentioned during our conversation. Hot Garbage, a Toronto-based psych rock band performing at the Spring Reverb next Friday, May 29th at the Toucan. So today I'm going to leave you with their latest track called Spun. And if you enjoy this and want to hear more, definitely make sure to go check them out live next weekend at the festival. So here is Hot Garbage. Now, I'm going to play a band that I'm super excited to hear at the festival this year. That is Golden Feather. They are a band based out of Hamilton, Ontario. I'd say a lot of their music is definitely inspired by the Grateful Dead, the Allman Brothers. Truly music I love, so if you love bands like that, definitely check them out. They are playing at the Toucan on Saturday, May 30th. So they are an incredible band. Really looking forward to seeing their show. But for today, I'm playing one of their hit songs, Awakenings. So here it is. And again, if you enjoy this song, definitely check them out at the Toucan, May 30th. We are also coming to the very end of my first episode, The Kingston Curator. I'm your host, Genevieve Hinch, and I'll catch you next time right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Here is Golden Feather with their song, Awakening.
voices within. The missing reflections roll right through my fingers. St. Valentine's 1800 year old slumber. Years inside to ponder. Years alone to unpack all these sins and throw focus from the room. Awakenings, awakening. Turn me inside out and lift me off the floor. Child.
Restless, restless, so restless.
Half joke of an invasion, but it feels alright to me.
Ooh, ooh.
Simple reaction. No more watching all those shadows on the wall.